that whip, as the Rhinos keep playing his turnism by moving the number three squish to the number two slot, it appears as though the most conservative of three squishes gained the House majority whip position. Conservatives could have and should have done better. But the Rhino establishment at the top of the right wing of the national duopoly hasn't learned a single lesson. It appears that the demise of the conservative, libertarianish movement styled as the Tea Party is greatly exaggerated, and the loosening of the establishment's stranglehold isn't quite as loose as would first appear. Make them regret it, and whip it. Whip it good. Dave Brass' upset of the former number two squish frightened the Rhinos, but they aren't giving up so easily. More pressure needs to be exerted in the rest of the primary season. This Tuesday, the 24th, we've got Colorado, Maryland, Oklahoma, New York, Utah, and the Mississippi runoff, with Chris McDaniel mounting a powerful challenge to Rhino Thad Cochran. We've also got Michigan, Tennessee, and Alaska coming up in August, so make sure you work real hard for Amash, Miller, and Carr. Right after the House, his turn next selections for Majority Leader and Majority Whip, Ted Cruz's Deputy Chief of Staff, Paul Teller, started whipping them. Teller was Executive Director of the RSC, the Republican Study Committee, for over a dozen years, until he was fired by Chairman Scalise, now House Whip, for working with, quote, outside conservative groups. Teller invited certain House Republicans who are conservative in fact and not merely in rhetoric and appearance to an off-campus powwow this coming primary Tuesday evening to meet with Ted Cruz. It appears that if the GOP doesn't want conservative leadership, conservatives will find it elsewhere. Whip it. While it can be argued that the chairman of the Republican Study Committee is more conservative than the former whip, we've seen no evidence that the neocon foreign policy establishment has relinquished or even abated its grip on both parties. The current imperial executive dithers and projects weakness, arming, funding, and training jihadis on the one hand and capitulating on the other. When you project weakness, you invite conflict. What is the neocon Republican solution to this? Reinvade Iraq, escalate destabilization in the Middle East, edge us closer to regional or global conflict, this time against Russia and China, while blaming it all on Obama, as Obama blames it all on Bush, which really means Cheney. You're being played. They're whipping you. What will it take for you to whip them back? We can neither afford nor do we want another Middle Eastern war that will cost lives, both the lives of those poor people who suffer wherever we invade, as well as the lives of our fine young men and women in uniform. It isn't that we should shy away from war, rather that we should embrace it fully and swiftly when it is just, necessary, and has direct American interests. A futile attempt to salvage the blood and treasure already sacrificed to topple a secular Arab regime and embolden jihadis is not only stupid, but unaffordable. As our debt piles up, the Fed eases money like a bloated greased pig down a narrow rabbit hole, and we suffer at home under an absolutist kleptocracy come ineptocracy. In the meantime, a locust horde is spilling across our southern border. The IRS is targeting political opponents and apparently losing emails. The executive releases jihadis left and right, abandons our warriors in Mexico, and leaves them languishing in a corrupt, inept, and overpriced VA system, which is just foreshadowing the next assault by his Obamacare healthcare insurance / takeover. And the broke blunderer of Benghazi goes on a book tour to set up the next neocon versus neocon kabuki theater. She was even on Fox Noise being interviewed during the Neocon Hour with Brett Baer by Brett and Greta Van Susteren. And the crazy thing is that the regular neocons, like Charles Krauthammer and Billy Crystal, they weren't there. But since Hillary was, you couldn't really tell the difference. It can be overwhelming. It can seem unstoppable. But it doesn't have to be. Instead of swinging at every issue the corporatist media jams to distract you, train your efforts on those targets you can actually change. increase the ranks of the conservative grassroots, send support for those fighting the real battles at all levels of government, and wake up the sleeping giant that stood once as a sentinel of liberty. Stand in defense of liberty and the Constitution, your own, your neighbors, and the rest of the world. Don't get whipped, but whip it good. You have a choice. Work hard now. We still are in the middle of the primary season. Work hard now to further liberty by having real conservatives and libertarianish conservatives take over the GOP, or watch the statists in both parties push their corporatist agenda to their benefit and our demise. Now is the last chance to stop those who want to fundamentally transform our republic into an empire abroad and a police state at home. End the destruction of our economy by the Republican-Democrat duopoly and their Keynesian masters at the Federal Reserve by standing with the real conservatives. To defeat the lawless hordes of cultural Marxists, statists, collectivists, oligarchs, neocons, useful idiots, and their fellow travelers, especially the Democrat socialists, first, you must crush the rhinos for liberty. You are live on Liberty's Thunder with Rex and Trog, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex Devo, broadcasting to you from Whiplash Central, the Imperial City. Doctor?
Doctor! And this is Trog, deep within my cave, somewhere in the Cascade Mountains. I'm afraid to open my mouth. You know, I, as your clip played, you know, I just had these flashes of things, and I was reading an article from Zero Hedge that I posted right before, you know, the show, talking about the Iraqi Air Force is like nil, you know, and the ISIL, actually is what it is, you know, got a whole bunch of American aircraft. Of course, they got that great deal on Toyotas. That was pretty cool. But, and I keep thinking about, you know, we listening to Cheney, I'm surprised he had the balls to, you know, come back into public. But when you got, you know, neocon Fox News wanting to give you a platform, you know, and Sean Hannity treating you like the king of Arabia, you know, what the hell? You know, I guess you can do it. It's very frustrating to me I'm really having troubles with this, Rex. It's really frustrating to me to have to discuss Republicans every damn week because they're a bunch of frickin' idiots. I know there's some great guys out there, and they're trying, and they really are. And obviously they have really stirred the pot. Otherwise, you know, less than a dozen people wouldn't get the attention they get or the attacks they get from both the Democrats and the Republicans. And the media, you know, focus and everything else. It's just frustrating as hell to me to think that people sat on their asses and did nothing, and basically the same war, Bush era, you know, war on the world hegemony, you know, blowing up women and children for democracy so we can save women and children, you know, destroying countries with the guise that we're going to stabilize countries, and we turn around and put those pricks right back in power. And I think, you know, we've had this conversation a lot, but I think that I don't know. I don't know what else to say to people. You know, if you do not understand, for one, it's very easy for you and I, because I've never, you know, I've always been a conservative. I've always been, you know, God and country and Bill of Rights and leave me alone and what the hell is the federal government controlling everything for? You know, I mean, I was a basic American as far as I was concerned. You know, leave me alone, I'll leave you alone, cross the line, you know, and you get thumped and everything's good and we can be friends afterwards, you know, if you can handle it. You know, I mean, it's pretty simple. But to see the corruption, now the guy in the first part of your, I came on just a little bit late, but the guy that made all the common sense, who was that in the first part of the clip?
The first part of the clip? That was actually Steve Scalise. That was Steve Scalise, the current whip, who was the most conservative of three choices. But
right,
you know, and they're labeling him a Tea Party favorite, but
he's not a Tea Party favorite. Yeah,
he's kind of squishy.
Yeah. He has a 76%, but he has some good points. Okay, I didn't know who was speaking. I was just listening to the verbiage. And I have been saying for over 2 years, not that I really ever wanted to say it, not that I thought anybody would ever listen to it, not that I thought anybody would ever give a crap. It was just something that I coined way back in the primary, before I even knew it was obvious that no matter what anybody did, Romney was going to be, steal the primary. But I said way back then, I go, you guys can focus on this, Obama that crap all you want, but here's the bottom line. If you put the same people back in power, the Bush-era rhinos that launched wars all over the world, that raised our debt ceiling 5 times, trillions of dollars, that set records and all those things, that screwed it up so bad that the whole nation wiped out the House and the Senate and the presidency and handed it to the Democrats, if you keep those people in power, then nothing changes. No matter how much they whine, no matter how much in the primaries all of a sudden they find God and they blow the dust off the, Constitution and read it again and go, oh, hell, yeah, that's a document. Yeah, I've read that, and try to convince their constituents that they're not Democrats. No matter how much they do any of this, these people helped destroy our position in the world, and I don't care what anybody says about Iraq. My son was there a long time. We discussed this extensively about, the money we spent, training these people after we blew their damn country up and trying to get these guys to take care of themselves. When he came out the second tour, he said, it ain't going to happen. If it goes to hell, these people ain't going to stand up for themselves. He was there training them. And so, it's just the whole thing is a lie. It was based on lies. It was a lie. They didn't topple the country fast enough. Then they had the surge. Then they spent billions. Then they spent trillions. And when people talk about a $1 trillion war, it wasn't a $1 trillion war, folks. We have $5 trillion on the Fed's balance sheet, and we have a $17-plus trillion debt. Nothing was a trillion. It is what it is today. We are still paying the price for this stuff. And it isn't that, and I've said this before, I am not an anti-war person at all. I'm just an anti-bullshit person. You got a serious concern with a country, and it is a real threat to world peace or their neighbors or whatever. I get it. You go take care of business, but you don't play these games, and then you don't fund frickin' so-called moderates, bull crap, what a lie that is, and build a new army, of super jihads, on steroids, holy crap, God, they got matching tennis shoes and Toyotas and black outfits, and yeah, they look badass, they're kind of hip, and then you don't build these armies claiming that you're financing and arming moderates, because Assad's got to go. And I've still never had anybody ever explain to me why Assad has to go. I know why, but nobody has a, who in the hell is he attacking? You know what I mean? What the hell has he done? It's just amazing to me. These are the people, when you re-elected Cornyn in Texas, which just blows me away, but whatever. Texas is pretty conservative, but doesn't mean they're always right. When you reelect Boehner, when you reelect Graham, when you reelect, who was the other one, Ryan, any of these guys that come out of that, that war zone of Bush era, the debt ceiling increases, no child left behind, expand federal government, act like Democrats while we're here, and you put these people back in power, and then you don't fight to get them out of leadership positions in the House and Senate by picking up the phone and telling your representative that if you do not, you get somebody in there that has read the Constitution and understands it and will stand on it, that doesn't have...
Trog? Why can't I hear you? Okay. No problem. He dropped. He'll be back. But, yeah, he was making some really good points there. And I think that people have to understand something. And it's so easy to get rah, rah, rah about a war because the war mentality is kind of, unite with your fellow countrymen and beat the other guys who are a danger to you. And that's actually a very important thing because if we are, in fact, invaded, has anybody looked at our southern border? I'm pretty sure we're being invaded, but we're not doing anything about that. Okay? But if you are being invaded, then you lock arms and you fight the enemy. Okay? Now, you don't always have to have a border invasion. You know, for example, and no matter how you thread the needle about what the issues to start it and all that kind of stuff, nevertheless, the Nazis were on the march to take over all of Europe. And if you think for a second that once they secured all of Europe, they were going to leave us alone, highly unlikely. So sometimes you do go overseas to get into it with the real bad guys. But I don't know that Iraq is that much of a problem. Whether it was or wasn't back then, whether they lied, whether it was misinformation, whether they got the wrong intel, whatever, what's done is done. The simple fact is that it's falling apart now, and I would argue that we've already had a hand in that, because if you recall, Jihad Jade Muhammad ran over to Syria when we were trying to topple Assad, and he was talking about, I know the difference between the good guys and the bad guys. Well, the guys that the United States has been training and giving weapons to and was considering turning our military into the Air Force for, which is Al-Qaeda-like or at least sympathetic, is now the ISIS group that is, in fact, fighting against our interests in Iran, in Iraq. And so what do we do about it? Well, the whole point was that we were trying to contain Iran, and now we're asking Iran to come help save Baghdad from the guys that we trained and armed in Syria. I mean, just think about how chaotic this is. Now, is it some kind of sinister game of Risk where they're moving the chess pieces around? Maybe. Is it just blatant incompetence about not knowing who's who and what's what? Probably that too. You know, so the idea is that if you don't know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are, and sometimes there are no good guys, there's just bad guys and worse guys, then if it isn't directly involving you, stay the frack out of it. Oh, but they attacked us on 9/11. Let's think about that. On September 11, 2001, 19 Saudis flew airplanes into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and one crash in a field in Pennsylvania. Not a single Iraqi was on that flight. Not a single Afghan was on that flight, okay? But Afghanistan, the Taliban there, were harboring Al-Qaeda, who was behind the operation, so you could justify that war back then. Other than protecting the poppy fields, I don't know why the hell we're there now. So that makes no sense. But the simple fact is that, why didn't we invade Saudi Arabia? That would have probably been more the culprit than Iraq. So, you know, think about what's going on here. Do you think for a second that it's possible that the various factions, not only the division between Shia and Sunni, but national divisions, tribal divisions, whatever, do you think that those factions might likely lie to the United States in order to get us to do the heavy lifting on their behalf? That's pretty much what the Saudis do. And for all you rah, 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 we got to do everything to defend Israel, it's not the 51st state of the United States. And don't think for a second that Israel doesn't meddle in our affairs as much as the Saudis do. They're all using us to leverage power against each other. It's not our concern. They want to kill each other. Let them kill each other. We don't want to get involved. We can't afford it money-wise. We can't afford it with our troops. We can't afford it in our standing in the world. And I think Trog's back to finish his point.
Yeah. You know, don't you hate that when you talk for like 30 seconds to realize you're talking to yourself? But I should be used to that by now. Back to what I was saying about, and you just made some good points, and they are key points, because one of the things that you and I try to do, and I think we do it well, is we step back and we don't take sides, so that we can look at things objectively. And you made some very key points. I just read an article. I came back inside and I read an article that Israel just struck 9 targets in Syria. Okay, now, a lot of people don't understand this, but that's an act of war. You know, it all this stuff is going on. Everybody's pushing everybody's buttons. Everybody's claiming this and that and the other and the other. You know, you get all the right-wingers that are all, you know, 110%, you know, Israel walks on water and we must do everything in our power to make sure that, you know, Israel never gets a speck of dust on it, that group. You know, that they are the strongest anti-Iran people. and yet nobody ever talks about Saudi. And I've done, you know, I don't know how many different, you know, write-ups on Saudi Arabia. But I always want to, and I sometimes I get into the mix of it with people, and they'll post some you know, anti-Iran thing. And I'll go, do you have the same concerns about Saudi? Because it ain't any better either. Oh, but Saudi uses the U.S. petrodollar, so they're our friends. So it's okay if they do that shit. And that's the frustration about, and this is geopolitics and the Middle East politics, which is a really quagmire of the nth degree, but it really is internally impacting your country. What in the hell are we doing funding and arming really bad guys to invade Syria? And if anybody's ever done the research, it's really about pipelines. It ain't got nothing to do with human rights. It has nothing to do with dictatorships. We have no problem propping up dictatorships when they do what the hell they want. You know, we want them to do for us. But if it's a dictator that, you know, that isn't, you know, kissing our boots and allowing us to do what the hell we want in their country, then all of a sudden, you know, it's the whole spreading democracy thing, and it's, oh, he's an abusive dictator. They all are. The whole freaking place is full of them, you know. And you want to talk about human rights, and I mean, pick a country over there. So this is the thing. You have to strip that veil off. When I hear somebody, I don't care if it's on the left or the right, but when I hear somebody say, oh, you know, Iran is so terrible, the first thing I go and I'm thinking, who funds you? Now, I'm talking about politicians. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people don't understand this, but a huge chunk of Fox News is owned by Saudi and Israel. And people don't take the time to do the research. And this parallels back to what I was saying before my phone died, is it will never change until you wipe out as many of these people who have been in Congress through Obama, Bush, Clinton, Bush, because some of those guys have been involved in all of it. Do you remember when we blew Yugoslavia to hell over human rights and destroyed that whole area and broke it up, ended up breaking up like 9 different, you know, independent states, and they've just suffered ever since, you know, over some bull crap about, oh, somebody in human rights and, you know, democracy. It was the same bullshit. It's the same pattern. I don't know why they do the insane shit they do. You know, there's money in war. There's money in debt. There's money in rebuilding countries we blow up because we get our contractors in there. I mean, there's money in everything, so you can always track back to money. But the ideology behind it, while we preach to Americans that we're doing this for the good of the world, show me one place we've blown the shit out of or interrupted or toppled a government in the last 10, 15 years that is better off, you know? And I get this stuff from, you know, because I was never a Ron Paul guy, so to speak, but I've studied him, I've studied Newt, I've studied all of them. You know, and there's things I like and dislike in all of them because I have my own core concept about what I think is good for the country and what I think is destroying my country. But the biggest thing is destroying our country is not the corrupt politicians in power. It's the ignorant, lazy people who won't get off their butt and educate themselves and turn around and vote the same corrupt, evil bastards right back in power. Because you can vote them out. But if you don't do anything, you don't do the research, you don't get the, you know, the cloud off your eyes, you know, of okay, Fox told me who, okay, Putin's evil. Now, Putin's the evil guy now, so, okay, there's my new enemy. Yeah, most people have no idea about the history of Russia since the fall of the USSR. I don't even think Fox does. They don't give a shit. Somebody told them, we need the Cold War. We need to increase NATO. We need to increase military spending. And Russia's getting too powerful because they're trading with a lot of people, and they have a lot of natural resources. And, oh, my God, you know, they've grown $2 trillion in their economy in the last 15 years. Shed. Oh, my God, we can't have that. You know, you got to ask yourself, why is that person the enemy, and who is saying it, why they are saying it? And then you go, okay, who backs this crooked politician? Who gives them their donations? Oh, okay, that makes sense while they're saying it. None of this is difficult, Rex. It is so, it's It seems like it's confusing, but it's not. When you skin it away, it's money, debt, banking, debt, war industry, and international corporations, and oil and gas companies, and pipelines. It really doesn't get much more difficult than that. And almost all of the Middle East, everything, especially Syria, especially Iran, really doesn't have crap to do with Syria and Iran and the Middle East. It has to do with the fact that Russia is a major gas and oil exporter and supplier to Europe, and the U.S. can't have Russia and Europe getting along because they want to control everything. That's really what it boils down to. And when you do enough research, all of a sudden you wake up one day going, well, that's kind of slimy. Yeah, it is. And, you know, and Ron Paul, you know, everybody calls him an isolationist. They're starting to call Rand an isolationist. They're calling anybody who is not for blowing up the frickin' world for democracy an isolationist. And yet, I made a comment the other day. I don't remember what, you know, where I was interacting with some people on. I go, let me ask you a question. China isn't invading countries all over the world. Are they isolationists? And yet, I can count 25 new trade deals, including major investments in infrastructure, including they're going into Greece. Europe can't solve Greece's problem. America hasn't solved Greece's problem. So China goes in there and say, hey, we'll invest in bridges and energy and alternative energy, and we will, you know, lend money, and we will build a trade market and blah, blah, blah. And they're going to solve Greece's problem through trade and investment and infrastructure and deals. Now, is that an isolationist, or does that sound like, God, that kind of sounds like what America used to be? Go places and say, you know what? We're not here to fix your problems. You're your own country. You know, we don't want our puppet in power. We want you to have true democracy, not U.S. puppet democracy. And we want to invest and bring our companies in, and we want to help your country grow and develop. We don't want to saddle you with debt from the IMF, which is a you know, the same problem that we have in America, these central banks. And that's what China's been doing all over the frickin' world. Now China's our enemy all of a sudden. Hell, they do what, $700 billion a year trade with America? We've got 30 to 40% of all the profits of American corporations are made overseas, most of that in China, and some, yes, in other countries too, but most of that in China. They carry massive amounts of our debt. They have over $3 trillion worth of trade imbalance because we have to borrow money from them so we can buy their cheap shit because we're broke, and Americans want cheap crap at Walmart. You know, to wear the weirdest clothes they can wear on their bodies ever in the history of the world, so they can go shop at Walmart and buy cheap crap. And now, all of a sudden, we're getting this whole rhetoric that China's the enemy now. Well, how can they be our trade partner and the enemy? That anybody who threatens U.S. the U.S. empire, which really you think war when you think empire and military-industrial, but really it's banking. It's the trade dollar. It's a petrodollar. And there are countries that have grown up and they've matured, Russia, China, India, Brazil. They're expanding. While we've been blowing up the world and going in debt and destroying our economy, they've been expanding and trading and building bridges in other countries and building high-speed railroads across Central Asia to Germany is the new thing, including to Israel and all this stuff. And that threatens us? We have a serious foreign policy problem in this country. And unless people educate themselves, you will keep voting these neocon, warmongering assholes back into power over and over and over and over again, and our system, our economic system is going to crash, and we're going to end up in freaking a huge war, not with third world nations, but with countries big enough to freaking take a big bite out of us like Russia and China, because people are too stupid and too lazy to get off their ass and educate themselves on what the hell is going on around the world that impacts what's going on in this country, right down to the thing of what we, the key, supposed to be the core of this show, is get rid of these corrupt Democrat infiltrator rhino creeps. Before they, do you think if they get the House and the Senate and the presidency with the same leadership in power today that was in power when Bush had 6 years of total control and about wiped us out and launched wars all over the world, five debt ceiling increases. Do you really think that they're going to fix all the problems of this country? I don't. And maybe you do, and maybe that's where we part company. But I absolutely believe these people are not the solution to this country. Now, do I believe that there are people that could and should be? Yes, I do, but there's not enough of them, and they're not in leadership positions. And we just had the House do it to us again, and Boehner's still in there. How many debt ceiling increases? I mean, the guy, his number one thing he wants to work on is amnesty. Our country's falling apart, and that's what his focus is. You know what he reminds me of, Rex? And I know I'm going off, but you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me
Orange?
Of Yeltsin. No, he reminds me of Yeltsin.
Yeltsin was more rose.
You know?
Less orange.
Yeah, but he was toasted. You know what I mean? And he just was a pushover. And he had a lot of power, and he didn't have a sober, sane moment in his life. And he basically sold Russia right down the drain. Russia lost trillions and trillions of dollars underneath him. And they just raped and pillaged and plundered Russia's natural resources, their industries, put them in debt up to their eyeballs. It took Putin, last 15, 20 years to clean Russia up, you know, after Yeltsin. And that's what Boehner reminds me of, that kind of just absolute ineptitude. And you guys, put him back, Ohio, put him back, voted for him, and then last time when you and I were fighting like hell to get rid of this guy, get a new speaker, and people wouldn't do it. I don't know how many people make calls. I really don't, because I don't track it. I just hope people do. But I don't think people are, Rex, and I don't know why. Oh, it just doesn't matter, you know, because, you know, it's so corrupt anyway. You know, that's a freaking loser's freaking attitude. Your country's falling apart. You have to do something. You know what I mean? Posting Obama this, Obama that, all day, every day on Facebook is not doing something. All you are is a free newspaper delivery person for Fox News. That's what you are. You're an unpaid newspaper deliverer. You know, that's his whole rhetoric is Obama, 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 Obama. You don't understand the problem of our country if all you can think about and speak about every day is Obama. He's one man, and he doesn't control the government. People control him. They're the same people control him that control Bush, that control Clinton, and the Bush before them. Those are the unspoken power structures in Washington, D.C., and you live in that hellhole, so you know more about this than I do. But I get it, and you have to stand up and go, it's my country, I want it back, I want sanity in my foreign policy, you know, and I want them to quit spending us into debt, we can never pay the debt back in this country, which means massive inflation or massive war or both, because that's how the neocon, neoliberal commies that run our country and our banking systems, how they solve financial problems and more taxes. That's what's coming down the road for you. And if you don't stand up and do something, then it's a guarantee. The pathway is crystal clear to anybody who studies economics or foreign policy. With that, that was a rant. Back to you.
Back to me? I thought you were just going to do the rest of the show. I'll just fill in the gaps when your phone dies. I'm just kidding. next time your phone's going to die, let me know in advance.
Yeah, right.
No, those are all valid points, and we probably need to clear up a couple of things. But let's do some housekeeping because we're almost in the second hour, and I got a 15-minute econ war clip I want to get to. We want to first of all thank everybody for listening and for sharing the show and getting it out there. Remember that Trog and I do this. It costs us money to do this, and we have no advertising on the show so that we can bring you clips. Some of them, unfortunately, also come from Flux Noise, but that's because they actually allow the conservatives on. And then, of course, once they leave, they bring on the neocon panel to shred them when they can't defend themselves. So we tried to put that in context for you, but, you know, we'll troll MSLSD and CNN and all the other crap just to you know, find you the nuggets and tie it all in together. So to do that, we run no commercials, and it costs us money. So you are the only reason anybody knows that this show exists. So when you see it on Facebook, and our page on Facebook is Liberty's Thunder, make sure you like the page, interact with the page, otherwise Facebook hides us from you. And join Chris's group, Liberty's Talk, if you want to get to the in-depth information and articles, which put all the stuff you just basically talked about in context. Make sure you do that. If you see it on Twitter, tweet it out. But nothing works better than a personal invitation. So just tell somebody that the show is on, they should come listen. Now, here's the thing. People, you know, sometimes might get a little offended at our colorful metaphors. Well, we're talking about politics, so words do tend to fly, and sometimes even the F-bomb, even though I've been trying to minimize that, sometimes when I'm talking about Boehner off the cuff, it just happens. But you don't have to agree with everything we say. You don't have to like every perspective we have. The issue here is to have a different perspective, and that's kind of the point of conservatism, is conservatives are diverse. We have a set of principles, not an ideology. We have a set of principles about how the world works, and therefore we have different positions that we apply those principles to vis-a-vis practical policy and application. That's healthy. On the other side, they're a monolith. They're a hive mind. They only have one position. And, of course, they present it to you in two ways, the left flavor and the right flavor. The left flavor is blue and is a jackass, and the right flavor is red and is a pachyderm. Other than that, they pretty much are feeding you the same crap. So please, share the show, and you can listen to any of our shows anytime just by going to Blog Talk Radio, searching out Liberty's Thunder, and the shows are listed right there. You just click on the title, and it opens up a hyperlink, and it plays right in your browser free of charge. You may have to listen to a brief 30-second commercial or something like that. And if you go below the scrolling graphics and you click the download button, right-click on that, you will get an MP3, which you can listen to your MP3-enabled device, burn a CD, stick it to your Campaign for Liberty meetings, your Tea Party meetings, your Republican Party meetings, your AA meetings, whatever, get it out there. The important thing is to get people to start thinking about the Constitution, to start getting along. See, one of the things about conservatives is because we are independent-minded, and that's conservatives and libertarian-ish conservatives. Trog was, I think, slaying a rhino. But the one thing about it is that we are independent. We are individuals. We have our own way of looking at things. And that sometimes gets us to have severe conflicts about issues, which is healthy. Here's the problem, though. When you take that conflict and you turn it into a grudge and start infighting with each other, when you in large part agree, you create room for the other side to coalesce because they're a hive mind and win. Most people in America today, even though demographics have changed things and government indoctrination centers have propagandized the youth, but most people still identify with conservative principles when you understand what they are. The Constitution limits on government, both the horizontal across the branches and the vertical between the states and the people and the federal government. Most people believe in free markets, knowing that an ordered free market is one in which it is easy to enter the market as a producer and easy to be a consumer in that same market, rather than having the government funnel everything and twist it towards the ends of their connected corporations. Most people don't know dick about money other than how to look at their paycheck and wonder why 40% of it disappeared, and then how to calculate the tax on whatever they're purchasing for their kids' school lunch or whatever they're doing. Okay, that's not the issue. That's simple arithmetic. The real issue with money is how the Federal Reserve scheme works. It is fake money. It is debt money. It is loaned to us at interest, and it is debased, and it is dangerous, and it's not that complicated. Now, you don't have to get into the whole notion of easing and graphs and stochastic methods and all that kind of stuff. Just know that it's fake. It's legalized counterfeiting. These are the things you have to get across to people, especially people who tend to vote Republican, and especially explain to them that just because the asshat that's been in office for 30 years sounds like a conservative, and maybe at one point he actually might have been a conservative, doesn't make him a conservative now. The Republican Party is a captured interest. They work for the corporations that fund their campaigns. They work for the Federal Reserve. They work for the AIPAC lobby. They work for the Saudi lobby. They work for the military-industrial complex. They work for Big Pharma. This is who owns them. And they don't only own them. They own the channels, Clear Channel, which is where Rush and Levin and Hannity are heard, and even Laura Ingraham, right? This is where you hear them. So in minor races, in off-season races, regular time, they'll sound the conservative charge. And then when it comes right down to it, they fold and buckle for the rhino, just like they did in 2012. Don't buy their bullshit. Fox Noise is a captured interest. Murdoch is now meeting with Valerie Jarrett to talk about how to convince, quote, conservative Fox Noise watchers, when you get past the big boob blondes and even the chicks on there, they're going to convince you how amnesty is the most important thing to grow the party. As if illegal aliens who are here to get the free crap are somehow suddenly going to become good Republican voters. Give me a break. Now, let's be clear. A lot of words are used regarding this topic. Immigration reform, amnesty, these ambiguous terms that don't mean squat so that you can impute whatever it is that you're feeling so that if the guy's in favor of it and you don't like the issue, you're against him. And if you like the issue, then you're for him. It's just designed to manipulate you. We do have to find some way to give legal status to those people who are not violent criminals that are already within our borders, because A, it's going to cost too much to try to send them back wherever they might have come from. B, you might be breaking up families and it's not a wise thing to do. And C, it is just a complicated quagmire. But legal status doesn't mean citizenship. Legal status doesn't mean you get to vote. Okay? But none of this matters until you secure the border, which is not an immigration issue. It is a national security issue. We're talking about sending troops and air support and guns to pick one group of jihadis over another group of jihadis in Iraq, when in fact we have an open sieve on our southern border with diseases coming across, with probably Muslim jihadi terrorists coming across, with drug dealers and child traffickers. That's what we should be focusing on. Make sure you call in now. You got 90 seconds before you are cut off. But that's the kind of thing that has to be done. And immigration reform. Well, you know, we want immigrants. We're a country of immigrants. There's nothing wrong with that. Somebody who wants to come here and be American, not someone who wants to come here and get the freebies in the system that the neocons and the left have built, but someone who wants to come here and contribute and work and do stuff, that's fantastic. We want them to come in through the front door. But when one out of four people who already live here doesn't have a job, it's probably not the time to be inviting foreigners. Fix your economy so that you will have to invite people from all over the world, because there won't be enough labor to meet the demand of our exploding economy because of sound money and regulatory reform that allows an even playing field to access the market, where government is only supporting the rule of law to make the market available for producers and entrepreneurs. And where capitalists don't buy government, but they seek the highest return on their money by finding those risks that they want to take with entrepreneurs that are going to benefit the most people. That's what we want to get back to. Instead, we're focusing on Iraq. And because – and look, here's how they get you, all right? Maybe you were for the Iraq invasion. Maybe you weren't. It doesn't really matter, okay? It's not 2003. Okay, so you have to put it in perspective, all right? Chris's son served. My brother was over there in both theaters. And when someone you love goes into the battle, you have a real hard time beating up on the political motives of the war, because the only thing you're concerned about is your loved one coming home safely, and the only thing they're concerned about is doing the best damn job that they can do. But his son and my brother have both told us, those people cannot be trained in our ways. They don't understand a federalist system. They don't understand a centralized government with relatively autonomous regions. When it comes to military capacity, they don't have the same mentality. For them, it's an issue of tribal superiority. If you're part of the dominant tribe, you get to kill everybody else. And if you're not part of the dominant tribe, maybe you end up putting on a cop or military uniform, but when the dominant tribe comes, you run. It's a different thing altogether. We cannot train them in our ways. They have to find their own path. We can lead them by example. We can trade with them. That's what we do. But if we go over there and tip the scales one way or another, you get the mess you've gotten now. You've got this swath of ISIS Sunnis in between a Shia Baghdad, Shia Iran, and Hezbollah in Lebanon. That's a disaster, and it leads right up Russia's ass, which is not someone we want to get into it with, because guess what? They're a powerful nuclear country. All right, we had a Cold War with Russia for 40-some years. We should not be poking around in their backyard. Let them have their sphere of influence. Let's be cold partners, warm partners, I don't care, but we do not need to be fighting with them or the Chinese, and certainly we can't afford to do it now. These are things you have to think about, and the only way you're going to make that happen is if you are the one who is the voice to get conservative principles of non-interventionism. We're not isolationists. That's just a label they use to scare the shit out of you and convince Republican voters, this Tea Party libertarian faction of the Republican Party, they're gonna have us speaking Mandarin and Cyrillic because they're giving up. We're not giving up. We want the strongest military. This is the Reagan principle, peace through strength. The only one that even sounds remotely like that for real is Rand Paul. So what does Sean Hannity do? He beats up on him. Sean Hannity is a cheerleader and quite possibly a fucking moron. There goes the F-bomb, sorry. The point is, you cannot buy everything that these so-called conservative pundits tell you or the Republican Party talking heads tell you. Think for yourself. It is far more patriotic and far more supportive of your military to use them as a strong defense, the most powerful and potent fighting force on the planet that will not provoke anybody. But should you even look at us funny, we will obliterate you. And that's what you do in war. You don't pansy around with, let's disband their military and then retrain them to be blah, 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 blah. Give me a break. When you go to war, your purpose is to end it quickly and win. If you can't win, don't start. Define what winning is. All right? If you're going to be an empire, quit going over there and start mucking around so that Halliburton can get wealthy and Darth Cheney's stock can go up. If you're going to go be an empire, you go in there, you kill everybody, you take their stuff, and you come home. But that's not who we are. So how about we only go to war when it is a legitimate American interest, okay? Not an Israeli interest, not a Saudi interest, not a corporate interest, but a legitimate national American interest, and fight it right. There are really 4 points to actual just war. From our legal standpoint, unless we are directly threatened, it requires a congressional declaration of war so that the people's representatives will debate it and make a decision before we commit money and troops. Just war says that, number one, the damage inflicted by the aggressor of the nation or community of nations must be lasting, grave, and certain. Bunch of desert-dwelling jihadis who are fighting over whether the successor of Muhammad is a Sunni or a Shia, it's none of our business. We don't care. All right? All other means of putting an end to it must have been shown to be impractical or ineffective. Well, if we weren't financing them and giving them weapons, they probably would be killing each other with swords and sticks and stones. Let them. We don't care. There must be a serious prospect of success. How do you have success in the Middle East by going in and toppling secular regimes of authoritarian assholes, no doubt, in order to replace them with extremist Muslim jihadi caliphates? What do you think these caliphates are intending on doing? Read the Quran. It says clearly, the house of war versus the house of peace, Dar al-Harb and Dar al-Islam, right? That's their view of the world, which means when they think that they're powerful enough, their mission is to subdue the world and make everybody a Muslim or kill them. That's it. Well, don't let them crawl out of their holes and come after us. But as long as they don't, they want to kill each other over there. That's not our business. One of them steps foot on a subway in New York, kill him, go back there, find his family, kill all of them and wipe them out. Eventually, they'll stop doing it. Number four, the use of arms must not produce evils and disorders graver than the evil to be eliminated. The power of modern means of destruction weighs very heavily in evaluating this condition. So you think about this. We invade Iraq. We topple the secular regime. Was Saddam a dick? Yes. Was he bad? Yes. Did he kill his own people? Yes. That's their problem to figure out. But we go in there and we topple that regime, right? And instead of setting up some kind of parliamentary monarchy and semi-authoritarian state, because that's what they're used to, we go in with this notion of democracy, and all of a sudden there's a majority Muslim Shia government. I mean, it's insane, right? But in the meantime, what happened? 400,000 Christians were killed. Now, when in the hell did the United States go into a conflict to topple a government that caused the death of that many Christians? Just think about that. Same thing in Syria. That's just war. What we're doing is not just war. That doesn't mean, and I love Trog's line, he's not anti-war, he's anti-bullshit. We always have to be ready for war. An ancient Roman phrase was always, in peace, prepare for war. You're always ready for war because it is always going to be here. This whole John Lennon imagined peacenik bullshit that somehow we're all going to sing kumbaya and sit around naked beating drums in the woods and everybody's going to get along is a fantasy. There will always be war, and you must always be ready to win those wars and win them decisively. But don't go sticking your nose in places where it doesn't matter and picking fights that don't mean anything to you or your people. And right now, they are ginning up the jingoism. They're managing your mind because they want this damn war, and they want you to want it. And that's what they're doing. We probably have to wrap this up soon, Chris, so I'll let you go now.
The truth of the matter, why'd we go in Iraq? Nobody's willing to tell the truth. Some people say it was a total lie, weapons of mass destruction, blah, blah, blah. You know, I said before, it's because he was trading in non-U.S. petrodollars, and they had to blow him up because he wouldn't kiss ass. It really was that simple. So he had to go. And you listen to Cheney said, if we tear up, you know, back in when Bush Sr. said, I didn't want to go into Iraq because if we tore it up, it would be a quagmire and it would all fall apart and then you'd have all these conflicts and situations. Well, after 9/11, they had the reason to go in. And they went in and did exactly what, in that interview, he said we didn't want to do. Well, in reality, they really wanted to do it. That's the problem. But that fit the narrative at the time, and they were able to go in and push Saddam out of that little country, whatever it is. I lost it. So
Kuwait.
This is the world Kuwait. This is the world we live in, and it's insane out there. And the problem is we're in the middle of it, manipulating it, propping up government, propping up a dictator. Then he doesn't do what we want. So then we, you know, try to use NGOs and send McCain over there in Newland and, you know, and try to get people to vote him out. And then if he doesn't get voted out, then we create some humanitarian catastrophe or a false flag or, you know, they have a little uprising and then somebody snipers a couple people. You'll see that is common. You know, it seems like somebody's shooting somebody all of a sudden. Oh, then everybody goes wild. Then the president and the Republican, mostly the Republicans, jump up. Oh, we got to go in there. They're killing people. They're killing their own people. And the next thing you know, we're blowing this hell out of a country and we destroy a country. I don't know anywhere as an American, and if you claim you're an American, you claim you're a conservative, or you claim you're a Christian, where you think that's okay. How can you think killing women and children and destroying countries to save women and children is a moral thing to do? There's a thousand other ways to work things out with other countries, especially when they're not our problem. What the hell are we doing in Iraq? Oh, oil, I guess, they were saying. We thought it was weapons of mass destruction. Funny how that works. You know, Ukraine. What in the hell do you think we're doing in a country that it would be like Russia coming over here and toppling Mexico and then embedding itself in the government and then planting missiles on our border? How would you like that as an American? Well, probably about as much as Putin likes it. You know, people don't even do the research. You know, 65% of the exports that come out of Ukraine go to Russia. 5 to 6 million Ukrainians, open border world between those two countries, work in Russia because it's a better economy. And we went in there and messed that up, and then we point the finger at Putin and say, oh, it was all Putin. What do you mean? The guy had just put $15 billion on the table saying, I'm going to lend you $15 billion. We're going to cut gas price down to this, like a nonprofit situation to help you out because you're struggling. And he's the bad guy? You know, we always have to have an enemy for some reason. And the thing is, it's so easy. When your country's falling apart, nobody will look at themselves or look at, you know, their own life or their own politician that they vote in and say, we need to work on America and solve our problems and fix this mess that we're living in. And then the news and the media and the talking heads jump up and go, look, there's 200 children were kidnapped. Oh, my God. Oh, God, we got to go blow them up. There's people dying all over the world all the time. There's bad people rule countries all over the frickin' world. There's a lot of those bad people we support or put into power. You know, you got to stop and say, what the hell is going on and why aren't these politicians taking care of America? Why is our border not secured? Why did the NDAA just get passed again without a debate? Why is the NSA spying on American citizens? And why didn't that get solved? Why is this situation with the IRS ongoing and not getting fixed? Why do we have a president that continues to change laws at his desk when it's Congress that's supposed to write laws and he's supposed to implement the laws? If anybody, you know, you didn't like it when Bush did it, don't like it when Obama does it. Don't like it when any president does it. There's too much power. It's a dictatorial power, and it's just about complete. And you can thank the Bush era because he's the one that started it. And if you can't deal with that, then you're just another Republican drone. You've got to wake up because if you don't, we're in trouble. And I just, like I said, that article, Israel just freaking blew up 9 targets in Syria. That's an act of war. So we got ISIL, ISIS, whatever the hell you want to call them. You know, the mad army with the Nikes and the cool black uniforms and the Toyota trucks, funded by America through Jordan, through Turkey, to topple Assad. Then they got too big. Now they're moving out and trying to carve out their own caliphate, a multi-country, you know, zone, and they're trying to carve it out. You got Assad's been in there battle-ridden, lost 170,000 people, millions of people, you know, displaced. Women and children, Christians, you know, Syria is where all the Christians went when we blew up Iraq because Assad had a multicultural country. Everybody was welcome. Took in massive refugees of Christians. And now we're funding these moderate groups, and they're killing Christians. And we're trying to topple this guy, and now we got this 10, 15,000 force strong, armed to the teeth, millions of dollars in their pocket. Oh, how'd that happen? I don't know. Check our ally out, Saudi, Qatar. You know, so the whole place is going to go to hell, and it's going to pull Russia into the middle of it. It's going to pull Iran into it, and I don't know. I don't know what it takes to wake people up. We just left. We just left, Rex. One of the most contentious conversations we've had as a country for years. That whole war in Iraq, and we got people going, well, hell, we need to go back in. You know, and if they can convince enough people, you know, and spend all their focus while your economy goes to shit, you know, college-educated kids still can't find jobs, borders are wide open, and if they can convince enough people that this is important and this is what we need to focus on, then we got another war. And it's just amazing to me. It isn't like, I mean, from Vietnam to Iraq was a big span of time, so people kind of go through a generation, you know, kind of forget about stuff. This was just like a couple years ago, folks. And here we are. And we're putting the same bastards right back in power that are part of the whole start of this in the Bush era. Without even a blip or a blop. We got one guy out. One guy, Cantor. It's just unbelievable to me. I figured people would have had enough. but I guess not. You know, I don't know, how big a war do you need? How big of a depression do you need? Because inflation hasn't even hit yet. It's hit, and you see it everywhere if you pay attention. But it hasn't even hit. They printed $4.5 trillion. Our debt's at $17.3 trillion. Never in the history of our country have we ever been spread out this thin. And our thing is another war? I don't know, man. People must be nuts, Rex. I don't know. Anyway, that's my close, baby.
Yeah, well, the bigger war and the bigger depression, foregone conclusions, going to occur. I mean, that's just the hard reality of it. So accept it. But accepting it doesn't mean go hide in your church or, you know, be an armchair, you know, internet political activist droning on and on about the New World Order. You don't even know what the friggin' New World Order is. All Rothschild this and the Queen and the Vatican. And you sound not Austin Powers, Mike Myers from So I Married an Ex-Murderer. You know, it's the Pentagon. the Queen, the Gettys, the Rothschild, the Vatican, and Colonel Sanders before he went teats up. Okay, it's a little loony. Are there people trying to create a global feudal system, a one-world government? Yes, they've been doing it for centuries. Are there people who want to kill you simply because you're not a Muslim? Yes, they've been doing it for at least 14 centuries. Are there people who want to take away your guns because they want to control your country? Yes, that is always what they do. All right, these are the dangers that are out there. How do you solve them? Well, these are the same friggin' dangers, just a different magnitude, that the Founding Fathers faced in 1776 and 1787. And they wrote a constitution. And some of the globalists were the Founding Fathers. Who do you think Alexander Hamilton is? He's a European monarchist elitist banking tool, right? But he still got some things right. And what we got was not perfect, but it was more perfect. We have the blueprint. We have the answers. We also have the market and the technology and the innovation to solve the problems that we have. But some people don't like problems being solved. In fact, a lot of the banking and corporate interests and their buddies in government like to create problems. They show up, they set your house on fire, and then their buddy comes around the corner to sell you the water to put it out. That's how the game works. And they do it in different ways to get different people as long as they can keep us divided. So for all the libtards, they show up with the environment, the global change, the climate warming, the melting polar bears, all that crap, right? So we have to destroy the corporations from polluting. Well, that sounds good. Let's do that, right? Or, the poor students who are trying to get educated, they got all these loans that they can't pay. Well, why'd you take out the loan in the first place? Maybe you shouldn't have gone to college. Maybe you should have taken the 8-year plan and got a job in the meantime, right? But so now we got to fix that problem by doing what? Well, let's let them work it off. How about they serve in the military or government civil service? Oh, that's great. Now we got a real fascist mentality going on here where basically you get stuff from government in order to serve as a cog in the machine. Think about that. I'm not talking about signing up for the military because you feel compelled to do it. I'm talking about a conscription of sorts in order to get your college education paid for. That's not sane, okay? Or they show up for you righties, right? Well, UN is coming in here to take away your guns, and plus all the fuzzy foreigners are crossing the southern border, so we got to have to kick some ass. Vote for me. I'm a Republican. That's not how you measure your legislators and your administrators. You measure them against their faithfulness to the Constitution. To the Constitution. That is the blueprint. That's what causes the division of power. That is what keeps your sovereignty in your hands, which is not absolute because you do live on this planet with 7 billion other people and you live in this country with 300 million people. But wherever we don't have shared responsibility. It's my life. It's your life. We don't have to live the same life. We don't have to have the same views. We only have to agree on those broad general principles of common defense and building the conditions for the institutions of civil society, for free associations, and private enterprise to fill in the gap, and only the government does those few things that it is intended to do. Common defense. Invading Iraq, poking Putin in the eye, and threatening China is not common defense. That is conflict isolationism. And then you turn around and accuse us of being the isolationists. Well, you know, those guys are somewhat conservative, but, you know, then they go off on this isolationist stuff. Well, we have to be able to defend ourselves. You don't defend yourself in Iraq. Well, but Israel. Well, that's Israel's problem. Out of all the countries in the Middle East, they got nukes. They've got F-16s. They've got a more potent and lethal air force. As Chris was telling you, they just struck 9 targets inside Syria. So they can fend for themselves. They chose to live over there in a sea of Islam. I'm not saying that we don't get involved, we don't act as an honest broker. But when you start picking and choosing sides in the quagmire that is the Middle East, you will invariably cause more damage and gain more enemies than you will solve. We've learned that lesson. So even if you didn't think that was the case in 2001, 2002, 2003, even 2006, it's 2014, baby, and it didn't work out. You don't throw good money after bad, and you don't spill more blood after blood just because you've already done it. And you don't cut and run either. We're not going to cut and run. Ooh, we're afraid. We're not afraid. All right? You people are so screwed up that we cannot help you. Despite yourselves, we can't help you. All right? So figure out your own shit. But let me tell you this. See you in New York? Okay, come to New York, pal. Let's see you come to New York. Let's see what we do to you. Right? Let, you know, we do have an NSA. It should not be spying on 300 million American citizens. But it sure as hell should be figuring out what Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Sunni this and Shia that are up to. And when you get the intel that they're planning something, which we knew before 9/11, then instead of waiting, you go over there and you kill them. And you don't have to start a war and invade a whole country. These people operate in small, independent cells and do all sorts of crazy stuff. Well, you know, you send over a couple of covert teams, cut their heads off, and you come back home. You do that once, twice, three times, I guarantee you, they will stop screwing with you. That's defense. Invading a country. Because, you see, our military was designed post-World War II basically to be a country toppler. And then here come these terrorists. So we launch a war on terror, and instead of actually fighting terrorists, we go toppling governments. Well, just because that's what we're used to doing doesn't mean that that's what we should be doing. We should be killing terrorists. That does not require the invasion of other countries. You can do it with drones. You can do it with small units. You can do it with intelligence. And if any of these other pansy countries don't like it, screw them. You have a bigger military, a sounder economy, and a free people. They can't do anything about it. But we're not there. We're saddled with debt. We have monetary manipulation. We got a regulatory environment that makes it almost impossible to do business. We got a collapsing healthcare system, a collapsing infrastructure, a diminishing military capacity, and we're morally retarded. You really think that you're in position to dictate to the rest of the world what they should be doing? You can't even fix your own backyard. Why? Because you keep listening to Fox News, to that moronic cheerleader Hannity, to the big boob blondes on Fox, to the idiots on talk radio, and you somehow think that makes you a conservative. Well, that doesn't do it. So go out there. Talk about conservative principles. Show people the error of their ways that they're being misled by the so-called conservative Republicans who are neither conservative nor interested in a republic. They're basically just running the Democrat playbook, only they're doing it with rhetoric that appeals to the mass of America. And let's get takeover, because if you don't do it now, there's going to be a collapse. And people are so weak and so easily managed that when the dollar collapses and food isn't getting to them, They will do anything. They will steal it from you. They will kill you. And then everybody will feel so bad and it will be so chaotic, they will turn to whoever promises to restore order. And you will end up with an American dictatorship, and it will take decades, if not centuries, to revolt against it. The conditions are ripe for this to happen. The collapse is imminent. What are you going to say that you did? Well, I could have done something, but I was too busy stuffing my face with Cheetos and watching, America's Got Football or whatever, football. Come on. This is important stuff. Get busy. Wake up the idiotic masses. Reach out to them. Get them involved. Let's take down Cochrane on Tuesday. Let's finish out the primary season strong, and let's send a clear message to this insipid, squishy Republican leadership that they had actually better follow through on their rhetoric, that they had actually better operate within the Constitution, and that for the next two friggin' years, they had actually better stop Obama and not try to force-feed another friggin' Bush on us. The other side's already preparing their broke blunder of Benghazi for her next neocon run. So let's get out there and fix it. This is exciting because rarely does a people get the opportunity to work together to fight for something true and good. We have that. So quit nitpicking with each other about whether marijuana should be legal or gay marriage or we have to save the babies. I agree we have to save the babies. You're not going to save the babies by passing a law against abortion. You're only going to do that by convincing people to stop killing babies. Stop hiding in your churches. Stop following, multi-million dollar pastors with stadium churches who are telling you that if you pray enough and if you wait long enough, you'll be rich too. And start doing the work. The work is in the culture. The work is in the society. The work is person to person. And put these governments back in their box, which is the Constitution. Stop towing the Republican line and stop fooling around and futz around with issues that don't matter. Unite on the basic principles: the Constitution, the rule of law, private property, sound money, and peace through strength. A strong ass-kicking military that is not going to mess with anybody, but should anybody mess with us, they will be killed. End of story. This is the time to do it. Get out there. Get the show out there. Thank you for sharing it. Get people to come listen. Spread the word. Get these ideas out there. Make it happen. Because America can be America again. But only you can make it happen. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, go to our page. Go to Chris's group. This is Rex and Trog. Signing off. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. G.K. Chesterton wrote, "America is the only nation in the world that is founded on a creed. That creed is set forth with dogmatic and even theological lucidity in the Declaration of Independence. Perhaps the only piece of practical politics that is also theoretical politics and also great literature. It enunciates that all men are equal in their claim to justice, that governments exist to give them that justice, and that their authority is for that just reason. It certainly does condemn anarchism, and it does also by inference condemn atheism, since it clearly names the Creator as the ultimate authority from whom these equal rights are derived. Nobody expects a modern political system to proceed logically in the application of such dogmas, and in the matter of God and government, it is naturally God whose claim is taken more lightly. The point is that there is a creed, if not about divine, at least about human things." We are the only nation in human history to be founded upon a creed, a belief that nature's God has endowed man with rights and dignity, and that we form governments to uphold justice by restraining powers and reluctantly trusting temporary stewards to administer it. Ours is the right to retain the maximum freedom for individual citizens living together in community, guided by the compass of natural law, self-mastery, brotherly love, patriotism, and embracing the commensurate responsibility for perpetual vigilance over our own disordered passions and the misuse of power by men entrusted to govern. We inherited liberty, and we must jealously guard her against molestation and appropriation by the corrupt, especially in these perilous times. As the culture of hedonism, apathy, relativism, and mediocrity degrades our exceptional American spirit, we are witnessing the flouting of the rule of law, private property, sound money, free markets, and religious freedom by government. Do we proceed as subjects of arbitrary power down the road to serfdom, moral decay, tyranny, and decline? Or do we chart a new course, standing on the shoulders of giants, and reclaim our rightful place in history as the land of the free and the home of the brave? There are some amongst us who see America's days as over, and that we need to be one among many in a global scheme of fake money, consolidated power, and perpetual war. Yet many more of us believe America is a dream unrealized, an experiment in self-governance gone awry, a once proud confederated republic of liberty wounded by success, excess, and cultural Marxism. Do we accept defeat and follow the path of our European forebears? No. We have always harbored a rebellious streak, a revolutionary's heart, and the rising spirit of liberty. We draw the line. We turn back the imperialist impulse, and we crush the degrading ethos of mediocrity. Independence Day was the culmination of centuries of battles for liberty, and like all good things, must ever be made new. For the gravity of this world is a drag of corruption, vice, and tyranny. We are Americans, and we flee not the fight, but join it more courageously, vigorously, and with a deeper resolve when all seems lost and darkness looms. Raise the star-spangled banner and take the high ground with liberty in your heart and with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. As Americans stuff our faces with hot dogs, set the sky on fire with pyrotechnics, and enjoy our barbecues and ball games, we must always remember that we aren't celebrating a government. We do that in September, the anniversary of the Constitution, written years after the Declaration. We aren't celebrating our elected idiots either, or our foreign and domestic frenemies. We are celebrating our secession from Great Britain. We are celebrating our freedom. We are celebrating our rebellion against tyranny, which is allegiance to ordered liberty and the longing of our hearts to be free. We look to our flag. Yes, our flag. Not the flag of a king, tyrant, or government, but to the people's flag, Old Glory. And we rejoice in knowing that we are free and that to exercise that freedom, we have to appeal to a higher authority than government and ourselves. We have to appeal to the human spirit that always yearns for liberty. As Joseph Pierce observed in what he dubs Chesterton's Salute to the American Flag, a salute signifying Chesterton's hope that America might become a beacon of Christianity worldwide, lamenting that the English have often forgotten the cross on their flag, Chesterton hoped that the crossless flag of the United States may yet become a symbol of something by whose stars we are illumined and by whose stripes we are healed. For you Christians, that has profound theological implications. And for those of you who are not, know that the spirit of liberty we celebrate and defend came to us from a Christian philosophical understanding of human nature. Unless we acknowledge that man is capable of incredible grandeur and yet prone to corruption, why bother with limiting government? Why make free markets regular? Why bother with the rule of law at all? You yearn to be free, but free of what? Free for what? Aim high. Stand tall and always remember, the American creed is liberty.
Time, I don't know.
You have a choice.
What 2014 is going to produce. You know, I'm kind of keeping an eye on it. Not as focused as I was in the beginning. After they put five rhinos right back in power, of course they got a win in November, And maybe, I don't know, maybe the conservatives and the people who feel like they just got screwed will just set it out and let a Democrat win. I don't know. It doesn't matter, really, does it? You know,
no.
If their voting record is a 65%, they're a Democrat anyway. So Democrat or Republican, it's same thing. So it'll be interesting to see what's going on, and it'll be interesting to see if people wake up. It'll be interesting to see. I'd love to do a study if I had the money to run the thing, but to actually do an online poll and ask people and see how many people even know what the 4th of July means. It would be interesting to know that, because I know we haven't taught history in this country for 30, 40 years. And if people don't go out and search it out for themselves, the people in power, they're not interested in you knowing the history of this country and what it stands for or what the original intent was. Or, you know, I hear Rand talk about freedom being the primary thing. You hear Reagan talk about this is what makes America great, the freedom, you know, to pursue your own dreams, to start a business, to, you know, create wealth, you know, to pursue your career, whatever the case, whatever your choice is, without interference of government. Government is there for one thing, to protect that freedom and to equalize the laws to make sure that in a big country, people don't step all over other people in that process. I mean, it's pretty simple stuff, Rex. And it doesn't matter how big the country is today or how little it was in 1776, those principles work. And if we don't get back to them, then we're just another Europe. That's really what, you know, all you got to do is look at Europe and go, there you go. You know, we can have a seat.
Especially the
we
Baltic.
Can have a seat. Yeah, we can have a seat on the European Council, because that's the goal for the neoliberals, neocon-type personality, is one government that controls everything. And all you are, your country will be a state of that system, not an independent sovereign state. And most of the people in power that we have in power right now, that's what they want. They have this vision. They believe that for the world, for peace and prosperity and equalization, who knows what these freaking psychotics think, you know, but they have this vision that it's all under one umbrella and that everybody is subservient to that system. And that's not a conspiracy theory. I mean, that's what the UN was created for. Duh. You know, you don't have to have a tinfoil hat to figure that one out. There's people believe that Pelosi and Pelosi, you know, Mexico and the U.S. are one country with a border between them. You know, we got to get rid of this border. You know, this whole thing of, you know, we talked about it earlier or whatever on chat or whatever about this North American Union. That's been a goal for a long time. You know, they just want to merge that system into one basic trading zone. What was NAFTA about? That was the prep work for that. So, and you've got to give up a lot more of your rights and prosperity, because America has been so far above everybody else economically and prosperity-wise that you have to give that up in order to equalize so they can merge those systems together. That's, like I say, that ain't no conspiracy theory. That's basic planning, economics. So here we are, 4th of July, Independence Day. Hey, that was a good movie. Hope you had a good barbecue.
Yeah.
Hope you're ready to get back
and
in the
bowl
fight
games.
Because, yeah. Well, we did do a barbecue. But
why wouldn't you?
Here we are. We barbecue all the time. So that's my opening, and I really hope people get it between now and the end of 2014, and because we're already in the presidential primary. I mean, it's you know, the battle's been running for months and months and months. And there's three things at stake: your personal freedom, your money, and more war. That's really what's at stake. All these other things people talk about, those are just minor issues. Even though you think they're important, those three things are what is at stake in this country. Your freedom, your money, and more war. That's it. That's my opening.
All right, good opening. Yeah, Independence Day. That's that movie with Will Smith and Brundlefly, where they saved the world from aliens. Would that it were that dramatic, but aliens are not invading the planet. So that's not really our concern. The barbarians are not at the gates, so that's not even our concern. Guess where the barbarians are? They're across the river from me, in the Imperial City. The barbarians are within your walls, and you're sitting back thinking that things are normal and we can have Democrat and Republican politics, and there's conservatives and there's libertarians and there's liberals, and we just want them to have bipartisan getting along and some civility, and things are different now, and, you know, 238 years ago we were different. We've evolved. We're so developed now. Give me a friggin' break. When was the last time you read the Declaration of Independence? Because I get people all the time accusing me of supporting a dead Confederacy and trying to re-erect the South, because I sometimes talk about the fact that we do have a right to secession. Well, if you think that that's not a right, if you think somehow Abraham Lincoln invading my country and killing my countrymen and fighting for the Union somehow eliminated the right to secession, what the hell are you celebrating on July 4th? You're celebrating wealthy, landed, aristocratic colonists seceding from their sovereign and their parliament. That's what they did. They risked their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. I think five of them ended up being captured. 12 of them lost all of their estates. Several of them lost their sons. That's what they laid on the line. And these are men who had money, who had power, who had pretty much all the yummy, wonderful material stuff that you could possibly want in the 18th century. And they laid it all on the line for something that they deemed worth more. Liberty. And what are you trading it for today? Food stamps? Unemployment benefits? Minimum wage? Some kind of bleeding heart, misguided bullshit about refugees on your southern border? Or that Islam is really the religion of peace? Or that Democrats really do have an egalitarian love of liberty and equality for all men? Or that the Republicards are actually conservative? This is what you're trading your liberty for? You're trading your liberty for the Patriot Act, Section 215, that says that anybody can be indefinitely detained because the smarter and better people running government know who the bad guys are? People like Jihad Jane Muhammad, who run illegally into foreign countries and hang out with friggin' terrorists who have now set up a caliphate in western Syria and Iraq? This is the people that you want to put in charge and give indefinite power to indefinitely detain you without trial, violating the Constitution? These are the people that you think should be able to download every friggin' email and text that you send? These are the people that talk flowery conservative language, and then when they get challenged by a conservative, go running to Democrat voters and buy them by promising them more federal crap. That's what's going on. And, yeah, we do celebrate July 4th, Independence Day, because it's important to remember why you're an American. It's important to remember these principles. But it's not just flowery history. It's not just language. It's not just, you know, shits and giggles of some days gone past. It's something that you live now. You live it today, or you will be responsible for it disappearing from the face of the earth, because sitting back and doing nothing is aiding and abetting the enemy. And the enemy of liberty is always there. The enemy of liberty is tyranny. The enemy of liberty is having envy. The enemy of liberty is wanting what the other guy has without working for it, but by taking it from him. But because you're a good person and you don't want to be a thief, you won't actually steal it from him. What you'll do is vote to have some asshole with a badge steal it from him on your behalf. This is what's going on in this country right now. And we talk about politics like, oh, you know, just turn up, get out the vote, and you know, the lesser of three evils, and all, bullshit. This is real, because when the shit hits the fan, it's going to happen so fast, you will have whiplash. You will be paying $1 million for bread in no time. Jihadis will be blowing up things in your streets, and all those people that are on government dependency now, when their food runs out, will turn on you and kill you. That's what will happen if we don't maintain the system of ordered liberty. And the Democrats have no friggin' desire to do it, and the Republicans are helping them destroy it. The only chance you have is people who have principles, constitutional principles, conservative principles, which are necessarily libertarianish. That's who you have to work for. And so far, it's been a mixed bag in these 2014 midterms. Are you going to whine and bitch about it, or are you going to get off your ass and do something about it? Because that's what it takes. And, Chris, I don't know if people are really getting this. I don't know if people are really serious about this. I think people think this is fun and games. Well, maybe it's fun and games for you, but I live here. And if you don't get off your ass and do something about it, we're all going to be in the hole.
Experiment that was launched.
That's my second opening.
You know, maximizing freedom, minimizing government, and giving people the ability to live their lives without the yoke of tyranny on their neck. And unfortunately, in our prosperity, we got fat, lazy, apathetic, distracted, shallow society. You know, the divorce rate started flying. Our countries internally, you know, you can get into this whole conversation about, you know, society as a whole, and the people at the top are just playing us like fools. And people are allowing it to happen. You know, we don't – critical thinking is just – it's almost an illusion today. To see people get past the – you know, I look at the primary in 2012 or late 2011, 2012 – and I look at the election cycle, and I was just dumbfounded at how stupid people had become and how programmable they had become. And then I thought, well, that one will wake them up because, you know, they put this schmuck up in there, you know, and he lost, and Obama got power again, and then Obama started, you know, rolling with his next series of mandates and changes that he wanted to accomplish. And I watched the Republicans whine and moan, and Fox News whine and moan, and Hannity and Rush and Levin whine and moan and whine and moan. And I'm thinking, nobody's being honest about what needs to change to save our country. Getting Obama out, even if they impeached him tomorrow, what has changed? Who has put any plan? You know, a couple guys have. I mean, Rand's put a real economic plan out there, but you know, nobody talks about the economy. They don't talk about, you know, about the waste and fraud, which is over 30%. You know, people can't even pay their damn bills, and we got, you know, wide open borders, and they can't wait to get in the next three or four wars. You know, they're so corrupt, they're so degenerate, they lie, every one of them. They open their mouth, they're lying. And they don't give a shit about you. And for some reason, people think they do. They think that these people are going to save them or fix things or whatever. And that's got to change. And the only way that's going to change is if people wake up. It really is. Because putting the same people back in power in 2014 that were there, you know, through this whole cycle from Bush to Clinton to Bush to Obama, if you just keep putting these people back in power, nothing changes. Because the guys at the top, the guys have been there the longest, and they're the most embedded corrupt jerks there are. And they have no intention of fixing anything. You think the Republicans are really going to get rid of Obamacare? If you do, you're a fool. Because they're not. Because it's not socialized medicine. It's corporatism. And Republicans love that crap. And they love being in bed with the big businesses who give them lots of perks. You've got to get some liberty-minded people in there. And maybe they all go to hell sooner or later, you know, the longer they're in power. Maybe they all do. I don't know. But you got to get some fresh face in there. You know, that's the bottom line. Some people who are going to fight, you know, and maybe term limits is the key. I mean, I think about it all the time, you know. And while they're fresh and young and they go there with the desire to change things, you know, and then they start corrupting, whatever. I mean, it just seems like a natural thing. But 30, 20, 30, 40 years, give me a freaking break. You know, I mean, Cochran. I mean, come on. That guy's like 76 years old, and they reelected him in the Senate? He'll be 80-some years old if he makes it. I mean, come on. You know, are you kidding me? Against a guy, a brilliant guy that ran against him? How could people be so stupid? I don't know. I don't know what's happened to people. And people need to wake up.
That particular one, it was 6,500 Democrats.
Yeah, that's like, true too. But more people.
And they're trying to repeat that. By the way, that's the problem. They're trying to repeat that same thing that happened with Cochran and McDaniel in all the rest of the primaries. That's their new game plan. Yeah.
It started with Cuccinelli.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no way in the world that guy should have lost. That guy has an impeccable record. You know, maybe some libertarians don't like him because he's, you know, right-wing Christian, whatever. But the guy fought. He was one of the first guys to launch a lawsuit against Obamacare. I mean, the guy was a butt-kicker. There's no way. And the guy that won, he's under federal investigation while he's running a campaign. How in the hell can that happen except people don't get off their asses and get out there and fight? That's really
pretty
what
much.
It was. Because we're not talking, Rex, we're not talking, you know, tens of thousands of people more. We're talking a few hundred to 1,000 people making a difference on these smaller elections.
Yep.
You know, it's disgusting. But it is. All right, back to you.
I mean,
that's my close.
You're right. That's your close. Okay, well, we'll get out of here soon. But no, I think you're absolutely right. It's disgusting that these close races are happening. And it's not close because there's a vigorous debate of ideas between the two sides. These things are close simply because they're suppressing the turnout and they're rigging it, or they're using less than kosher tactics to draw people. And it's happening because they're afraid. And see, this is the interesting thing to me. We complain a lot on this show. I was hoping that we'd do something a little more positive today, being July 4th weekend. But I went off the handle. It happens. But that's neither here nor there. The simple fact is that the enemy is afraid because more and more people are waking up and smelling something fishy. And some of us are doing something about it, and they don't like that. We are taking away their gravy train of power and booze and perversion and control. They don't like that. And whether you're of the mindset that, you know, there's a big puppet master somewhere out there controlling all these guys, or whether it's a community of interests or whatever, the bottom line is that they're working together in one way, shape, or form. And whether that's a conscious conspiracy or a community of interest is really irrelevant to me, because either way, you got to stop it. And the only way you stop it is you take back the power that belongs to us. You know, you can try an armed revolution if you want. It'll succeed in couple of decades. You're not going to do it overnight. And frankly, I got to tell you, these days I'm pretty sure that most of you just don't have the stomach for it. You're soft. You're weak. And you're not going to do it. But here's the thing. You have the power within your hands, within the system. And some of us are starting to work it. And it's freaking them out. The problem is that some of us is not enough. We need more of us to work it. And the only way that happens is you wake up those who are like-minded, those who are on the alleged right, people who believe in the rule of law, in maximum freedom, in minimum government, in sound economics, in sound money, in a strong defensive foreign policy that's ready to kick butt wherever we need to be, but isn't interested in policing the whole friggin' planet. These are the things that unite us. But we spend all our time whining and bitching about the few little things that divide us, because we want to win an argument. We want our pet peeve issue to be the number one thing on the planet. Oh, my goodness, the Hobby Lobby stores are not giving 4 contraceptive abortifacients to their – it's the end of the world. Give me a break. These are not important things. What's important is that you have religious freedom. You have freedom of press. You have, I mean, 6 corporations own the media. That's not freedom of press. You have the right to free assembly. These things are there. You have a right to a jury trial. You have a right to not self-incriminate, which is impossible if you ever file a 1040. So it's a bunch of rules and regulations made by unelected bureaucrats because Congress has abdicated their power to a bank and to K Street lobbyists. That's what you have to end. And the only way that ends, and the only time they ever respond, is when you scare the shit out of them by standing up. Look at what happened when Jihad Jane Muhammad and the jihadi in the White House wanted to topple the last secular Arab regime by bombing the crap out of Syria on behalf of al-Qaeda. From left to right, and everywhere in between, Americans said no, and they had to back off that plan. So what did they do? They armed and trained those guys, the very same guys that they were going to send our military to be the Air Force for, and even our military people are like, I didn't sign on to be al-Qaeda's Air Force. And now those guys are the ISIS, or the IS, or the ISIL, or whatever the fuck the caliphate is called, but that's who they are. And now we got to go do something about it. No boots on the ground. Well, except the 300 I'm sending. No arms and money.
800.
Well, except the arms and money I'm sending. 800 now. Okay, so just keep throwing. This is just like Vietnam. Put a couple of advisors on the ground, and then before you know it, it's a full-scale war. So, but look what you did before. You stopped it from happening in Syria. Now you're quiet because it's Iraq. We are invested in Iraq. Why? Why do we care? They got to work out their own problems. They've been at each other's throats for 14 centuries. You're not going to stop them from doing it. Well, because if we don't kill them over there, they'll come over here and kill us. Yeah, you know what? Muslims tend to do that. Muslim jihadis tend to do that. I hate to break it to you, but even 9/11, as horrible as that was not that devastating. It was not a military success. It was a psychological success. So you still have a higher chance of being struck by lightning or killed by a cop in your own country than being killed by a terrorist. So don't freak out about things that really are not that much of a problem. And frankly, terrorists are a little kind of weak. You know, if you stand up to them by not cowering in fear and letting the TSA play with your genitals at the airport or give up control of your cell phone and all this stuff because of the terrorists, they tend to be like, well, we're not instilling terror in these people. Why are we bothering? We'll have to find some other tactic. But you see, you're afraid. You get scared. You give the government more power, and they go, oh, this is working for us. So it's up to you to realize that the enemy is weak and that we can make the move if we stop bickering, if we find those 3, 4, 5 things upon which we agree. How about not being the policeman of the world? I think we agree on that. That doesn't mean we're isolationists or we're going to give up our military. It just means we're not going to try to police every single problem that happens everywhere on the planet. Can't be done. 2, how about sound money? I mean, if you don't think inflation is a problem, you like that there's a private central bank that controls the quantity of money, you're probably not conservative or libertarian, and that's just too bad. You're on the other side. Go away. But for the rest of us, how about sound money? We can agree on that. You know? How about obey the law? If we have a law, just because you happen to be an elected dickhead doesn't mean you get to ignore the law. How about non-militarized police? I mean, I'm not saying there isn't room for militarized police. Certain actions will require that. But you see, the thing about SWAT teams, special weapons and tactics teams, is they're only supposed to be used in an imminent and ongoing problem. They're not supposed to be issuing warrants. They're not supposed to be breaking into people's houses and shooting their dogs. They're not supposed to be pulling you over on the street. They're not supposed to be patrolling a tank in your neighborhood. They have very limited use, hostage situations, terrorist attacks, that sort of thing. But they're not supposed to be used as the regular day-to-day law enforcement. So how about we work on that? If you work on just those things, you'll find that you'll get most Americans to agree with you. And then you tell them, help me fix the problem. You know your local races, I don't, but I can tell you that we got primaries coming up in the Virgin Islands. It's very important. I want everybody to work on the Virgin Islands primary August 2nd. No, August 5th, Kansas, Michigan, Missouri, Washington. August 7th, Tennessee. August 9th, Hawaii. August 12th, Connecticut, Minnesota, Wisconsin. August 19th, Alaska, Wyoming. There's stuff going on, and you're not going to win every race, but you can save Justin Amash. He's a good voice. He's one of the good guys, and he's young. Get him in there. You got Joe Miller in Alaska. Get him in there. All right, your car. So you focus on the things what can I do, Rex? Well, if you got money, send it to the candidate. If you don't have money, you got some time. Make some calls on his behalf. But do something, because it's important. And the most important thing you can do is get people to participate in the process, not just a week before the election. Make it happen. I mean, it really is up to you, but you can make it happen. And don't let them make you fear their politically correct nonsense or, oh, the Republicans have no chance if they don't do immigration reform. I hate to tell this to you, but immigrants don't vote legally. And I'm talking about immigrants, not the illegal aliens. I'm talking about immigrants that come in through the front door today. They don't vote legally until they're citizens several years from now. You're not going to grow your base by appealing to, quote, immigrants. You're going to grow your base by appealing to liberty. That's how it works. And, you know, oh, well, that just doesn't seem right, Rex. You seem to be like you're against people who don't have your ethnicity. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is not, it's not about ethnicity. It's about liberty. Liberty transcends all of that stuff. That's what you have to work on. And actually, a foreigner, G.K. Chesterton, who's a Britishman, came over here, and he said, the Americans are very patriotic and wish to make their new citizens patriotic Americans. But is the idea of making a new nation literally out of an old nation that comes along? In a word, that is unique. What is unique is not America, but what is called Americanization. We understand nothing till we understand the amazing ambition to Americanize whatever, some other people. We are not trying to Anglicize thousands of French cooks or Italian organ grinders. France is not trying to Gallicize thousands of English trippers or German prisoners of war. America is the only place in the world where this process is going on. And the process, as I pointed out, is not internationalization. It would be truer to say it is the nationalization of the internationalized. It is making a home out of vagabonds and a nation out of exiles. That's the uniqueness of the American experiment. We attract the best and the brightest from the world to come here because we put out a beacon for liberty. Care what your color is or your gender or even what your private sexual proclivities are that you don't advertise to the world. It doesn't care. The only thing liberty holds out is figure out who you are supposed to be. Figure out what the purpose of your life is supposed to be. And go make it happen. That is the most attractive thing that a nation can put out. And that's what we used to do. And that's a good thing. And we have to get back to that and convince those who live here who think somehow we're one amongst many in a global community of federated structure, blah, blah, blah. Screw that. We are not one among many. I don't want to be like Nigeria. I don't want to be like Zimbabwe. I don't want to be like Nepal. I don't want to be like Ukraine. I don't want to be like Great Britain or France. We are America. And that means that we stand on the principles that are enshrined in that document written 238 years ago, that we are entitled by nature's God to have these unalienable rights to life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness, and that we put together a government to secure those rights, not to feed us, not to wipe our asses, not to tell us what we can do for a living or how we can pray, but simply to protect those rights from enemies, foreign and domestic. That's what America is. That's what the American creed is. It's liberty, and it unites us. It does not divide us. What divides us is when we say, my idea of liberty, which includes the minimum wage and controlling the weather and driving little toy cars around, is the only one that matters. Or my notion of liberty, everybody must have access to medical marijuana and be able to wear tie-dye shirts. Or my notion of liberty, everybody has a right to pray, and therefore every morning at 10 a.m., everybody must pray these particular prayers from the Bible. Doesn't work. And it doesn't matter if you agree with any of those things, some of those things or none of those things. You don't get to impose them on other people. You persuade them. That's your right, free speech, free association. But you don't use the government gun to force people to live that way. That's how it's done almost everywhere else to one degree or another, and that is the road we are going down. And if we don't stop and turn back, the only progress we're going to make is progress off the cliff and into European socialized Balkanization. And that ain't going to be pretty. You're not going to like it. I don't care who you are. But you can do something about it. Teach people. Get involved. It's not just about voting. It's about our civil institutions. It's about what we carry in our hearts. It's about how we treat each other. And then we can hold the politicians accountable and replace them with statesmen. We'll broadcast sometime this week, but we're not sure when yet. In the meantime, happy Independence Day weekend. And the future can be brighter if you work hard for it. This is Rex and Trog, signing off.